Walking or bicycling the streets of Tampa Bay can be a very dangerous way to get around. Why is that, and what can be done about it? This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the National Foundation for Transplants. Right now, hundreds of Tampa residents need an organ transplant they can't afford. You can join National Foundation for Transplants' Operation Second Chance at transplants.org to learn how to help give someone a second chance at life.
From the Donna Studio at WUSF Public Media, I'm Robin Sessingham. Most of us have probably seen the news reports. Every year, studies seem to show that the Tampa Bay area is one of the most dangerous cities for pedestrians and bicyclists. Sadly, this fact was illustrated just recently when a mother and her two-year-old child were killed crossing Bayshore Boulevard in Tampa just hours before another woman was killed trying to cross 40th Street. We asked for your feedback and experiences as a driver, a walker, or a biker in Tampa Bay, and we'll be hearing your comments throughout the show. Here in the studio with us, we have Christine Acosta, Executive Director of Walk Bike Tampa, an advocacy and education nonprofit organization. Welcome, Christine.
Thank you.
Also, Beth Alden, Director of Hillsborough's Metropolitan Planning Organization. Thanks for being here, Beth.
Thank you.
And Whit Blanton, Executive Director of Ford Pinellas, which is that county's transportation planning agency. Whit, thanks for being here.
Sure. It's a pleasure.
So Bayshore Boulevard is a big problem area, as I mentioned, as is Bay to Bay Boulevard. Let's hear from listener Whit Raymer.
My name is Whit Raymer, and I've lived near Bay to Bay Boulevard in South Tampa for about a year. It's a street line with small businesses surrounded by a neighborhood filled with families, children, and residents aging in place. When I first moved here, I walked with my kids in our stroller to get a pizza and was nearly killed on Bay to Bay because the sidewalks and streets were so poorly designed and maintained. So I was happy to learn earlier this year the city of Tampa was working to redesign the street to be safer for walkers, drivers, and bikers. When word got out, lots of misinformed residents objected to the city's plans, even though the new design was up to 50% safer and would not add to commute time. The mayor squashed the project. Rather than helping the community build consensus around a street design that could improve our quality of life and add to our vibrant neighborhood, I hope the city and county will delay further action on the Bay to Bay project until they reconsider safety and the economic benefits of a complete street design.
And Whit went on to say in something that he, in an email that he wrote to us, is that we've signed these pledges on complete streets and County Vision Zero. We have one of the highest pedestrian death rates in the county and continue to attract younger families who desire walkable communities, yet we can't seem to make the right choice when it comes down to it. Beth, you're the director of Hillsborough's Metropolitan Planning Organization. Can I get your response?
Sure. And I know it can feel frustrating when change takes so long to happen. And so, you know, from an urban planning point of view, we look at how did we get to this point? We have miles and miles of major roadways that today have severe crash rates. They grew up as rural highways that gradually had commercial development along them. Start out with a gas station, then you have a strip mall. Then behind the strip mall, you start to fill in with residential neighborhoods. Then once you have people around there, they start sometimes walking out through those enormous parking lots and along the commercial strips. Well, none of this was ever designed to be a city in the way that the cities of the Northeast, for example, were created. And so we have a lot of adaptation to do. We're going to have to take it step by step. This was the city of Tampa's decision on this particular project. There are other projects where they have moved forward with road diets, frankly, like Platt Street, for example, where they created a buffered bike lane. And that's a major route coming into downtown Tampa. So that provides, I think, a significant choice for people who are bicycling and want to use bicycling as part of their commute to downtown Tampa from those close-in neighborhoods.
And Whit Blanton was nodding because planning comes in for hits as far as poor roadway design. Well, here you are in the planning organization. How do you answer that? Beth said, a lot of it's just historical. There's not much you can do about it.
I think for most of the time, our roadway designs prioritized one mode over another. So we spent a lot of time and resources ensuring that people could drive in their cars as quickly and as efficiently as possible. And that's why we have the six-lane roads, but it's also why we have these big intersections with two-lane turn lanes to the left and a turn lane to the right. And pretty soon you're looking at 10 lanes to cross just to get to the grocery store. And that really dampens people's enthusiasm for wanting to walk or bicycle or get anywhere except in a car. So it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy for much of our community.
It's your organizations that designed these roadways. It's just, has thinking changed over the years?
I think the mindset has changed quite considerably since the early 1990s, 1980s to now. And it's been a generational shift in a lot of ways. We have optimized our traffic capacity because 20, 15 years ago, that was the legislative framework, the policy framework. We had to enable development, and the only way you could enable development was by having adequate roadway level of service, which was how many cars you could move through an intersection in a certain time. That mindset has largely gone away, especially among our younger professionals in the profession. And so we're now looking at other ways to optimize our transportation network from a multimodal perspective.
Christine.
Well, Mr. Raymer really, really nailed the essence of that corridor. Beta Bay Boulevard is a street that was very much affected when the Selman Expressway was added to the community. Now the neighborhood.
Because you use Beta Bay to get to the Selman.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or to Bayshore, too. It's one of the few directly accessible streets that cuts through the peninsula of South Tampa. And Mr. Raymer really nailed it when he described the values and the qualities of a walkable corridor that would serve small businesses. The developers that are coming into our community, Water Street in Tampa, Midtown at Dale Mabry and 275, the Marina District along Gandy, these developers are putting a very high value on creating walkability in their communities. Yet it's our built environment when we have opportunities to upgrade and change where we really need citizens to understand, as Mr. Raymer does, but we need our elected officials to also understand that while it may seem counterintuitive to take one lane of four away, that it's possible to have an equal or even better commute for motorists while still improving safety.
Beth, is that true? With fewer lanes, you could have a better commute?
In some ways. So I'm going to back up a little bit and talk about some of the numbers. We do traffic forecasting. And so when we look out 20 years at the amount of growth that's coming to this area with more than 700,000 more people living in this county, you're not going to be able to widen the roads enough to move all those folks around. And our forecast for, Whit mentioned, roadway level of service. So our forecast is that actually the majority of our major roads 20 years from now will be failed from a level of service point of view.
What do you mean by that? They'll be failed?
Failed as in they'll have traffic jams.
And when you're driving on them, you will feel like it is a failure.
Yes, you'll know it and you'll feel
you'll
it.
You'll know it.
Yeah, so imagine that you're like sitting through multiple red lights to get through a single intersection when it has to cycle through several times.
You're saying that they're not going to keep up with the level of growth and the level of traffic.
We do not have a way to expand the roads enough. So
absolutely, but why would you narrow it? Like you could see where Mayor Buckhorn was opposed to this idea of making Beta Bay Boulevard three lanes instead of four because right. You can kind of see, like, just counterintuitive to think that that would improve the commuter experience.
Right. So we have to get smarter with the asphalt that we have out there, with the space that we have available. Mm-hmm. So the four lanes that are out there right now, two of those lanes end up being left turn lanes a lot of the time. So whenever there's a car that needs to make a left turn, it's sitting in that left lane and it's blocking traffic. So if you can get more efficient and have the center turn lane that is a turn lane in both directions, you're getting more use out of that space. And then you could create space for bicycling along the sides. And the reason why that's important is because we're going to need to create some other ways for people to get around.
Christine.
The study about Beta Bay, this was a City of Tampa-sponsored study, and it was conducted by an out-of-state engineer, and it reflected that there was Not going to be any extended commute time for the motorists along Beta Bay, despite losing one lane of traffic.
So what was the opposition?
The opposition, honestly, Robin, it was fear-based because it's so hard to appreciate the science of road traffic that, in fact, we could lose a lane and still have fluid traffic flow and not add to commuter time. Traffic flow only works as well as intersections work. So by recasting the timing of the intersections and by having longer turn lanes and things that enable traffic, and so it's critical that our elected officials become more immersed in the science of traffic flow so that they are equipped to calm the fears of the constituents who shouldn't be expected to understand traffic science, but our elected officials are going to have to if we're going to become the community that we all dream we can be.
And if I could just add to your point, we did a traffic study in Bradenton to look at reducing the lane width through downtown on Manatee Avenue, State Road 64, and we showed that there was going to be an additional 13 seconds of delay with that. We implemented that solution. The city of Bradenton constructed it with DOT's approval. It's been up and operational for 8 years now, and it's really worked well. And who cares about 13 seconds of delay when it makes a safer environment right through the heart of your downtown?
And helps the businesses, I guess, along that way.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. There are gobs of economic studies that reflect the tax revenue that comes in along these corridors after they're made walkable and safe. Not only that, the motorists at a slower speed will actually tune into the local businesses and visit later when they're not on their daily commute. So there's lots of evidence. Those are the fruits that a complete street will bear.
Change is hard.
Got that.
Absolutely.
Let's hear now from Dan Johnson. He thinks there are some really, really bad drivers out there, and that's contributing to the problem.
How to make our roads safer? Easy. Enforce all traffic laws. If someone changes lanes without a directional, ticket. Roll a stop sign, ticket. Speed, ticket. I have never seen drivers as bad as they are in Florida. Until law enforcement is setting an example for other drivers and enforcing existing laws, this will continue to be the Wild West.
Is it the Wild West, Whit?
I think there's some truth to that. There are a lot of aggressive drivers in Tampa Bay, and I don't know what that's attributed to, but I will say that the caller is right about at least one thing, which is maintain the speed limit.
Christine.
What the caller may not appreciate is that the roadway design actually dictates how motorists behave. What we have in a lot of cases is highway design features that are brought down into our neighborhoods. What I mean by that is wide lanes and few stops between. So it doesn't really matter what speed limit is posted. What really matters is what it feels like to drive in that space. So Bayshore Boulevard is a perfect example. 35 miles an hour is the new speed limit. However, you might accelerate to 50 miles an hour or 60 miles an hour and not really even notice because it just feels natural. So we are relying on our roadway engineers and designers to create space in which it feels appropriate to drive at the desired speed limit.
If I could chime in on a real-world example, we have a case in Pinellas County, West Bay Drive, that goes through the cities of Largo and Bel Air Bluffs on the way to the beach. And we were looking at a roadway modification to address that issue of how do we encourage folks to drive closer to 30 to 35 miles an hour, the posted speed, rather than the 50, 55 that we sometimes see out there. And the lanes are all 12 feet wide. We put a proposal to bring some of those lanes to 10 or 11 feet, depending. And we got a lot of pushback from neighbors, residents, elected officials. And it's interesting, the lanes on US 19 in Pinellas County are 11-foot travel lanes. And yet on a road that's essentially a neighborhood street that connects out to the Bel Air Causeway Bridge, people are insisting on 12-foot travel lanes. And it just is an example of how skewed our mindset is about how fast we want to drive and how fast we need to drive and how unwilling we are in many cases to accommodate the needs of others who maybe aren't in a car.
I'm Robin Sessingham, and you're listening to Florida Matters. We're taking a short break, and we'll be right back. This is Florida Matters. I'm Robin Sessingham, and we're talking about the dangers to people who want to walk or bicycle around Tampa Bay. Here in the studio with us is Christine Acosta, Executive Director of Walk Bike Tampa, Beth Alden, Director of Hillsborough's Metropolitan Planning Organization, and Whit Blanton, Executive Director of Forward Pinellas, that county's transportation planning agency. So we were just talking about the balance between cars and pedestrians and bicyclists on the road. But it's not just drivers who are at fault all the time. We heard from Evan Hoyerman in St. Petersburg. Evan says, I'm a driver in St. Petersburg who also cycles and walks often. While reckless drivers are a danger to society, I don't hear enough coverage on careless cyclists and pedestrians who can be just as dangerous. I've seen countless people on their phones crossing the road, outside of crosswalks, wearing headphones, and in general, not paying attention. I've also seen many cyclists riding against the flow of traffic. We also heard from Jennifer Hensley, who said something along the same lines. She says, at what point in time are pedestrians and bicyclists held accountable when they break the law? And the phrase, share the road, share is the operative word. I ask you to please read the bike and pedestrian laws on air. So one of the rules that she sent us, I'm not going to read all of them, is a bicycle is classified as a vehicle. A person in control of a vehicle on a street or highway is a driver. As a driver, a cyclist must follow the traffic rules common to all drivers. Whit, what is it? People, I know I've seen you talk about that intoxication of pedestrians is a big problem in St. Petersburg.
Sure. Throughout our county, that is an issue. We need to stop the blame game, though. There are faults all around. Everybody is imperfect, and we have many cyclists and many pedestrians who display bad behavior, just like we have many motorists who display bad behavior. Cyclists as drivers is something I very much believe in, but would that same person complain about the cyclist who takes control of the lane if the lane's too narrow? So if you're a vehicle, you can operate in the roadway traveling with cars, and the cars behind you need to wait for you to move along, or they need to change lanes to pass. That sometimes leads to confrontation and aggression. And so it's a balance that we've got to find on our roadways. That's why many of us are advocates for good infrastructure. And what that means is let's build the separated bike lanes where we have the opportunity to do so. Let's put in some buffers. But we can't do that everywhere. So we have to pick and choose our spots. Our resources are not great when it comes to either spending money on law enforcement or spending money on infrastructure. So we all have to work better to get along, and education helps, but so does building a better roadway, building a better community.
Jaywalking is a big problem. Something I read was over the past 5 years, more than 3,000 walkers have been hit by cars in Pinellas County alone, with 75% of those people were not in the crosswalks.
That is true, and that's a statistic that's really unfortunate. And pedestrians are creatures of habit and behavior, and they tend to want to go the shortest distance to get to their destination, just like car drivers. Unfortunately, we have a lot of roads where the traffic signals are spaced really far apart, so it puts people in very untenable situations. Now, having said that, I do see people quite frequently crossing, you know, 20 or 30 or 40 feet away from a crosswalk, and that's a challenge, especially in our beach communities over on Gulf Boulevard through our beach areas. People just want to get out to the beach from their hotel, and they just assume that cars will stop for them, or they wait for a gap and then they dash across. As a result of that behavior, we've installed many rapid flashing beacons along Gulf Boulevard, which has helped really lower the risk of injury and fatality along that corridor. And it's also gotten motorists more familiar with those devices, so now they expect to see them. And what that's done is slowed travel speeds overall on Gulf Boulevard, even on the four-lane sections, because people have to drive with an eye out for when those flashing beacons might go off.
Christine, it sounds like an education problem, too.
Well, it is an education problem. And when I talk to people about their behavior as bicyclists or as pedestrians, we have something in Florida called the right on red privilege. This means that any given intersection, especially multi-lane intersections, there are so many things to be mindful of and afraid of. Pedestrians can be virtually invisible to a motorist making a right-hand turn, even though they are standing only steps away. So many pedestrians prefer a mid-block crossing so that they only have two points of conflict to be mindful of versus the 8 or 10 that might exist at the intersection with crosswalks that could be hundreds of feet away.
That's a great point. So, Whit, you have personal experience with this problem, don't you? You were injured on your bike.
I was a little over a year ago, and I was on a trail where I should have been. And there was a side obstruction, and a motorist pulled out in front of me on the trail, and I went tumbling over the hood. And even a low-speed crash like that is pretty painful when you hit the pavement from 4 or 5 feet. It's a harsh reality. But I recovered okay. It was, I think, just as traumatizing for the driver who was on his first day of an internship with the Philadelphia Phillies.
A young guy, I guess.
But what happened after that, within the next 4 days, is the city of Clearwater went out and striped that crossing, which it should have been striped beforehand. They enforced cutting the landscaping that was a visual obstruction as I drove past. So the problem's not there anymore. So if we can solve those problems, I hope to do it without bloodshed.
What road was that?
Old Coachman Road, right by the Philly Stadium.
Because you do hear a lot about iconic boulevards like Bayshore Boulevard, mm-hmm. but then you don't hear so much. People get hit on these other roads, 40th Street, for instance, that happened the same day that you know, tragic accident with the mother and daughter happened on Bayshore. You don't hear as much about the other sides of town. Are we putting crosswalks in those areas too?
I think we're doing things all over, but the challenge we have is that if there were 5 or 6 real hot spots for pedestrian and cyclist crashes, we would zoom in on those and we would figure out a really good strategy. But it's spread out like peanut butter all over our county, and that's true throughout all of our counties, I believe.
Beth?
Well, we kind of dug into our severe crash numbers a little bit in Hillsborough and did find that 3/4 of our severe and fatal crashes occur on 1/3 of our roadways. But we do find that they have particular characteristics. There are these, you know, multi-lane roadways with speeds posted more than 40 miles an hour.
What are some of the worst roads?
So here's our top 10. Brandon Boulevard, Gibsonton Drive, Hillsborough Avenue in Town and Country, Fletcher Avenue through Carrollwood, Dale Mabry also through Carrollwood, Lynn Turner in Carrollwood, Meridian Avenue downtown, Bruce B. Downs Boulevard, 50th Street south of Temple Terrace, and 15th Street in the University area. Those are our top 10. And we tend to have about half of our fatal crashes involving vulnerable users, so pedestrians and bicyclists. So they're definitely way overrepresented in our severe and fatal crashes.
Okay. So are you putting more money into those roads or more crosswalks?
So you have to look at them case by case. You know, but frankly, some of these roadways are very challenging. You know, like Brandon Boulevard, Hillsborough Avenue, Dale Mabry Highway. You know, I started talking about roadways that were originally rural highways, and they've gradually grown up as commercial strips, and now they're surrounded by neighborhoods on both sides. And these roadways are also where we're running our bus service. And if you've ever tried to catch a bus to go anywhere, you know that either on the way out or the way back, you have to cross the street. So if we design them so that our signalized crosswalks are a half mile apart, this is not a recipe for success. Mm-hmm. So we have to go back and rethink each one of those roadways and figure out how everybody is using it, not just the drivers.
And school buses is another thing that must be of a big concern to you. I know that we heard from Emily Hinsdale. She's the founder of Sidewalk Stompers, which is a school zone pedestrian advocacy group. And she says her group's goal is to increase the number of kids who can walk to school safely. It's so tragic when you hear of a child walking to school and getting hit.
Yeah, I would have to say actually that our Vision Zero initiative in Hillsborough County was begun because of a high school student who was crossing Bush Boulevard to get to Chamberlain High School in 2014. That was the worst crash record and pedestrian fatality year that we've had on record. However, 2018 looks to stack up equally or worse to those numbers so far.
Beth, there's a new effort to put a Hillsborough Transportation Initiative on the ballot that would raise the sales tax from 7 cents to 8 cents for transportation projects, including some money for bike lanes and pedestrian safety. And that initiative just got a big infusion of cash from Tampa Bay Lightning owner Jeff Vinnick and philanthropist Frank Morsani. You've called it desperately needed. Why is that?
So as I understand it from reading about it, the funds, if people vote for them, the funds would be used to address some of our safety challenges that we've been talking about. I mean, we've been talking throughout this whole show about the amazing backlog of safety improvements that are needed. And we will do everything that we can with paint. We will do everything that we can with education and outreach. But if you really want to crack this nut, you need to put a little bit of money into redesigning the roadways.
And what about other modes of transportation?
Well, the Hillsborough MPO's adopted position is in support of this additional funding to support, you know, not only safety improvements, but also maintaining our roadways and our bridges, providing better bus service countywide so that people have access to jobs and basic services. These are all parts of our adopted plan that our board said, we really need the funding equivalent to a 1 cent sales tax to provide the kinds of transportation services and infrastructure that this community expects to have.
Christine?
I want to hear Whit chime in on the penny for Pinellas, because that's similar to what is being sought here.
Our voters overwhelmingly supported the penny for Pinellas last year, which had a significant chunk of money going towards road resurfacing, road maintenance, transportation projects in general. But I just want to speak to the transit issue. Beth talked about the absolute growth that we're having over the next 20 to 25 years in this region. And if we are hopeful of moving more people more efficiently, we're going to have different systems to do that. In our case in Pinellas, maybe it's just better bus service. What we have out there is today many people riding their bicycles much longer distances than they probably are comfortable doing, traversing difficult roadways because there's not bus service available to get them to their destination. So we've done a great job building the Pinellas Trail, but there's not that many destinations along the Pinellas Trail, so people need to get out on our streets. They need efficient mass transit to do that, and they need good infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. And we did recently do a show on bus rapid transit, so I encourage people to go back and listen to that show. It wasn't very long ago, and we really covered that topic. Christine?
Yeah. Hopefully the referendum. Right now there's a petition that Mr. Vinnick and Mr. Marsani are supporting to enable the voters to have their say. So it's not a vote by signing the petition. It's just to get on the ballot, and I sincerely hope that it does, because the voters need to be able to have more dialogue about what the return on their investment would be.
That's Christine Acosta, Executive Director of Walk Bike Tampa. We've also been talking to Beth Alden, Director of Hillsborough's Metropolitan Planning Organization, and Whit Blanton, Executive Director of Forward Pinellas. Thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we always want to hear from you. And there are lots of ways to reach us. You can tweet us at Florida Matters or email us at floridamatters@wusf.org. You'll hear more of this conversation on our podcast, Florida Matters More. You'll find a link to subscribe on our website, wusf.org, or search for Florida Matters More wherever you get your podcast. Florida Matters is a production of WUSF Public Media. The engineer is George Govan. The producer is Stephanie Colombini. I'm Robin Sussingham. Thanks for listening.